Good afternoon, everyone. May your troubles be less, may your blessings be more, and may nothing but happiness come through your door. But in the unlikely event that a trouble does appear, may it disappear as quickly as your New Year's resolutions. That's what I heard in December, late December, when a toast was given to one of the employees who had retired after 39 years. And of course, everyone chuckled at that time because they were aware of, in spite of the fact that New Year's was just around the corner, how often do you hear of resolutions that have actually been followed? You know, that new diet, that new exercise program or whatever. You don't hear anyone talking about it now, 2.5 months later. So that's how resolutions typically go. Well, why is that? One of the reasons for it is that people don't make really good decisions. They don't make good decisions about what they should do or what they're resolving to do. They don't think about it enough. And why don't they make good decisions? Well, there's a principle in the Bible that's found in Luke 14, verse 28, that gives you this principle. It's nothing esoteric, it's nothing mysterious. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, it's very plain. All of those who have been baptized undoubtedly were versed on these particular scriptures when you were told to count the cost of being a Christian. Let's turn over to Luke 14 and verse 28 and read about this principle. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost? And everyone in this room that's in the building trades knows that you have to sit down, you have to evaluate the amount of material you're going to need, the hammers, the nails, the that type of thing, material, how much time it's going to take you to build it, and if you're going to subcontract any of the building out to someone else, that has to be figured. And that's true of any person in building, from the people that are involved in it in this room to the Donald Trumps of this world, or to the place in Dubai where they're building presumably the highest building in the world, although I've heard that Dubai has even had a slowdown in their economy as well. In other words, if you don't count the cost, you might find that you don't, or it says, whether we have sufficient to finish it, least happily after he hath laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to make fun of him, to mock him. Say, look at, he started out to do this and he wasn't able to finish. And continuing on in verse 31, it says, what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and tries to decide if the odds are 2 to 1, if they're 10,000 against 20, whether maybe he shouldn't, you know, wave a flag. Walk out with a white flag and say, let's talk about this, rather than see his entire troop force slaughtered. So that's two examples of counting the cost. Now, this was specifically talking about counting the cost of being a Christian. Now, I wanted to use this principle in helping you look at another way this can be used, and that's in making good decisions. A number of years ago, I read a book, and I can't remember if it's the autobiography or the biography of Benjamin Franklin, and it talked about a very simple principle that he used. He was considered to be a very wise man, very knowledgeable, very good at making decisions, but this is a very simple, elementary thing he used, and it was called the Benjamin Franklin T-square. And those of you taking notes, just draw a T on your paper. And those of you not taking notes can just remember it, because it's very easy to remember. And it's simply that you take this T, and on the left-hand side, you list all the advantages, of what it is you're planning to do or what you want to do. And it doesn't make any difference how many you list. The more, the merrier. The more you have, the better. And then on the right-hand side, you list all of the disadvantages to this decision that you're planning on making. Try to list as many as you can. And I'm going to go through just an example to illustrate this. And I picked moving from one job to the other because in these uncertain economic times, it may well be that you'll find yourself in this position. But this can apply, this process can be applied to selecting a mate, moving to another part of the country, or whatever. It's very basic, very fundamental. But a lot of people in making decisions don't go through these steps. Okay, let's do this on the left-hand side. Here's the advantage to moving from one job to another. Perhaps you've been offered more money, so just write more and a dollar sign. Or just do this in your mind. You don't have to do it. I'm just going through the process. Number two, more promotional opportunity in this new company. I'm assuming that that is one of the advantages. Number three, and this could be a big one, you leave all of your mistakes behind. Everything that you did that could be credited to you as a form of a mistake, you're going to a new organization. You know, it's all back there. And you can leave all of your problem clients back there as well. So that's a big, big one. And maybe in this case, number four, you don't have to make a geographical move because it's in the same city, and that can be a big one. So we've got four advantages. Now let's go to the left or the right-hand side of the ledger and talk about disadvantages. Well, one that immediately comes up is the fact that you leave all of your accrued benefits, your vacation time, your sick leave, and this type of thing. And that's a pretty big one. Number two, you lose all the history you have with your existing company about the Sabbath and the holy days. And for those of us in this room, that's another very big one. Number three, you don't have any credibility in the new company. Sure, there may be a honeymoon period, but they hired you and they're paying you more and they expect more from you. So at some point, if you don't deliver, you don't have any credibility and you might not be around long. So that's a big one. Number four, you've got to establish your own clientele, assuming this is the type of job where you have to go out and get clients. And number five, you may leave your problem clients behind, but they'll come back in new names and new faces. They'll be there, and after a certain period of time, you know, they'll be in this new organization as well. And this, finally, number six, I'm saying that this new job may require more travel. And it could be for some more heavy lifting. It could be anything that's different from the other job. So you've got four for the move and six against. So if you look at it numerically, it would seem that, well, it's obvious there are more disadvantages. But I did one other thing in using this, and I've used it over the years, and I thought, well, this is kind of quantitative, but what about the quality of these different things? And how important are they to you as an individual? What is important to one may not be important to someone else. So I rated them from 1 to 10. 10 being the most important and 1 being the least important. So the four advantages in this case, more money, that was a 10. Better promotional opportunities, that was a 10. Number three, leave your mistakes and the bad clients behind, that was a 10. And finally, no geographic move involved, that was a 10. And particularly with children, that could be a 15 if you have teenagers in high school. So anyway, then you add them up, and this came to 40. Now let's go to the disadvantages. Losing your accrued benefits was a 10. The knowledge of the Sabbath and the holy days, that could be a 15, but that's a 10 because that's the parameters, 1 to 10. establishing your credibility, in this case, I just said a two. Because after all, if you've got, you know, if you're confident in your ability to work in one company, you can translate that over to another company, and you should have credibility, you should have that much confidence. So to me, that was only a two. Establishing new clientele, that was a two too, because that's part of the, you know, new job, you're expected to do that. And also getting or running into a situation where you have problem clients, that type of thing. Well, there's usually a honeymoon period, there's usually some time before that happens, and I said, well, that's part of the job. I rated that a two as well. Number five, or number six, I rated as a five. More travel may be required. And the reason I did that is because in the past I've traveled, I've spent a couple weeks in Anchorage, a couple a week in Salt Lake City, one in Fort Collins, Colorado, been to Massachusetts, Los Angeles, up and down the coast. But as far as I'm concerned at this stage in my life, I just as soon leave my traveling for the feast. And so to me, I rated out a five. Then I added these up, 44, 31 against. So if you looked at that, it would appear that it was the right decision to take that kind of a job. But I'm assuming that your analysis of this has taken the effect that you've consulted with people, your peers, people in other organizations, that you've gone through that process to determine if what you've got down here in black and white makes sense. That's part of the process. In a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. But once you've done all of this, then you can go before your Father in heaven and say, okay, Father, here is the way I've laid this all out. I've tried to be objective. I've tried not to bias it in some way. I tried not to slant it in some way, just so it'll make sense to make it happen. I've really tried to be objective about it, but I don't know. It's close. There may be something in here I'm not aware of, something that's coming up on the horizon, something that you know about me, something that you know about my family that wouldn't make this a good move or wouldn't definitely make it a good move. So I'm leaving it up to you to influence me in some way. Give me some kind of a sign. Put the thought in my head or whatever. Show me in some way that this decision is a good decision. I guarantee you, if you go through this process, if you count the costs, and this can apply to any major decision in your life, and believe me, between now and the Passover, I'll guarantee you, you'll probably be faced with certain decisions. It's just that time of the year. And historically, this seems to be the time of the year when things come up like this. Count the cost. Run through this process and then ask God to help you make the right decision. And I'll guarantee you, you will make better decisions. And as a result, your troubles should be less. Your blessings should be more, and hopefully a lot more happiness will come through your door.